Nice. Soul on ice. I'ma put my soul on ice.
Nice. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. Thank you for joining us whenever you're listening, wherever you're listening. My name is Kwame, and Double Trouble is also in the house. Akil Thomas and Elijah Roberts. What up, boys?
What's going on?
What's up?
Today is going to be a special episode because, you know, with what's going on in the world, things are changing a little bit. We've got Giovanni Smith from the Detroit Red Wings joining us later in the show. But first, I wanted to invite some special, and I mean special, young brothers to the show. So just to give you a little background, a few days ago, I was surfing Twitter, and I saw this video posted by a group of young black hockey players who represent the WHL, the AHL. Some are in their draft year. And the video was powerful, so let me give you a little sample of that.
Hi, I'm Zach Stringer of the Lethbridge Hurricanes. We wanted to create this video to show and express how some black males in our sport, past and present, feel on this topic.
What BLM means to me, I think BLM means, you know, not so much as Black Lives Matter, but, you know, to the true kind human beings in the world, like every life matters.
It means hope. Hopeful that we can overcome this crazy time and that we can provide a good future for our children and our children's children.
What BLM means to us is change.
We're not asking for black lives to be more important than anybody else. We're not asking for extra attention. We just want the same. We just want to be considered equal to everyone.
We shouldn't be labeled as a threat just because of the color of our skin. We shouldn't have to walk in fear. We shouldn't have to use violence to get our point across. The black community is hurting. I know I'm hurting. Seeing innocent black people getting killed, it is hard to see, and it is hard to think every cop is not bad.
These young men have put themselves out there. They've made a stand. So let me introduce you to Keyshawn Javaris, Zach Stringer, Makai Sanders, Coltrane Wilson, Montana Onibuchi, Tyson Greenway, and Justin Sordiff. What's going on, boys? You guys good? Everybody's good?
Good.
Hey.
Oh, yeah.
Good.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us, boys. I just want to start off with you, Keyshawn. How did the idea for the video come together?
So me, Zach, and Makai have had a little group chat for about a month and a half to 2 months now. We realized that we didn't really have too many black hockey players our age in our league. So, you know, we are kind of the same type of person. We had a little group chat, and I remember I posted a Black Lives Matter Instagram, and then them two did the same. And Zach came into the group chat and was like, you know what, we should just make a video, try to get as many black hockey players in the WHL as we can. And, you know, me and Makai were on board, so we just rounded up the guys, and I ended up editing the video. Zach got who he could get, Makai got who he could get, and then, you know, it was kind of a ripple effect. So, yeah, it was kind of a group effort from everybody, and, yeah, I'm just proud of how it turned out.
Montana, why did you guys feel it was important to make sure your voices be heard in the hockey space?
I think it'd be a disservice if we didn't. Like, yeah, young guys are looking up to us, and we're on a platform that we could talk, and people are going to listen to us. You know, we reached like 30,000 people in the video, you know, so it's just getting our voice out there, getting our message out there. So, yeah.
So, Anthony Duclair on Twitter, very proud boys. Great job. All we want is for the people of every race to just listen. So Coltrane, what did you think about the fact that, you know, someone from the NHL recognized what you guys did?
Yeah. Like, that was obviously, hopefully, the plan. We wanted to kind of get as big as we could. And obviously, you know, we're junior players. We only got so big of a platform. So you could see we were tagging guys like, you know, we even tagged LeBron at one point and just tried to see as many people as we could get. But it was kind of sweet to see, you know, Declare, like you mentioned, a guy who obviously is like a brother to us, and he's playing in the playing where, you know, we all hope to be. And, you know, he's got quite a big following. So like you said, it was huge to kind of have him, you know, retweet that.
Makai, how has this moment affected you as a hockey player?
Personally for me, in a, you know, not very black area, just mostly white people, and especially playing hockey, there's also not a lot of black people. You know, it's just more hope, I guess, because we have more than one. It's not just me alone going at trying to be heard. It's me and a bunch of people. It's everyone trying to be heard together, and it just can be a bigger impact when there's more people.
Zach, in your piece, you mentioned you shouldn't have to judge by the color of your skin. Do you feel this still happens or still happens when you're playing hockey? If so, how have you dealt with it in the past?
Yeah, for sure. Just those, like, older people, I guess, just making remarks on, oh, why would you pick that sport, or why are you not playing basketball, or yeah, just like in that standpoint. So, but inside the hockey community, I haven't gotten it in a while, and it's good to see. It's great to feel, honestly. And going up with like the group of guys we did to put out this video is great. Just it's easier to be stronger together than by yourself. So
yeah. So you know, when people like guys in the room, you know, maybe say something racist towards like an Asian or an Indian or whatever, like I actually don't like it, just because, you know, I'm thinking like, if I'm not in here, like, what are you saying about black people or whatever? So this is a question basically for any of you guys. Have you ever like been, has anyone on your team like said something racist like towards another black guy and like not knowing like you're right there? Because I remember my first year, this guy on my team called like this black guy on Mississauga a monkey, and I was sitting right next to him on the bench, and he was like, I'm so sorry, man. So I just want to know if that's something you guys have ever experienced.
You want to go, Coulter?
I'll take first. I remember a Euro, you know, mentioned to one of our you know, playing against one of the other guys, and said he was going to, quote, kill you, and in your country, in my country, we kill people like you. And obviously, you know, he knew I was there, but I'm sitting right there.
Wow.
And I'm not going to name any names or anything like that, but like, it is what it is. And like, obviously he apologized, and it's the heat of the moment. We're in a game. It's emotional, but what is it? But afterwards I had to go up to him, and I was just like, yo man, like, that guy's like, as much as he's on the other team, like, that guy's also like my brother. And the funny is, the guy, I knew him really well. He was actually in the video we did. And like, it's harmless. It's emotional. I know he didn't mean it, you know, literally, but at the same time, you know, we all been there, and you got to take it to heart at the same time. So.
So Tyson, in the past, like, speaking up, obviously was kind of a career killer for a black hockey player, just because of, you know, how times were back then. Were you nervous about putting yourself out there, like, with the video?
Yeah, well, obviously, being a young guy in the league, it's tough to speak up and be heard. But seeing all the older guys speak on the video and on the topic, it's good to see, and it helps me use my voice on the platform I have to speak on what I have to say and use my voice.
Justin, what does Black Lives Matter mean to you?
I think, like the other guys touched on it, it means hope, if anything. You know, obviously we need drastic changes in sports, society, you know, everywhere. And I think if we can get to that point where everyone's treated as an equal human being, you know, I think the world will be just fine.
Mekhi, what have been your thoughts seeing players like Jonathan Toews, Max Domi, Tyler Seguin, and others taking a firm stand on this issue?
I think it's good, because a lot of Black Lives Matter protesters might be aggressive towards a lot of white people right now, and kind of to show that not all black people are thugs, not all cops are bad, just to show that there are people, like other white people, that actually do care about the matter at hand. So I think it's good for some people to be able to show that.
So, Keyshawn, you're an advocate for mental health awareness, and you actually started a clothing company to kind of spread that. Just talk to us a little bit about your clothing company you started, and like how people can find it.
Yeah, so I started a clothing line called Teddywear, and it was basically to promote mental health, because myself, I've struggled with mental health. I've been diagnosed with depression and anxiety, so I know how people go through that. They feel alone. So I just wanted to try create something that helped people feel like, you know, they weren't alone, and they did have something, and they did have a support system. So, you know, I've just been kind of stocking up and just been waiting, because the demand here in Saskatchewan is pretty high. and we just been waiting on our business license to go through, because during this COVID situation, apparently everybody wants to be a business owner. So we're kind of waiting a little bit to, for that to go through. Then we'll be hitting the online store, but we just put it off a little bit for, the Black Lives Matter line that we're going to be dropping around Tuesday to Thursday, I believe.
That's awesome, man. And, like, I respect it a lot just because, you know, if, there's a kid who's playing minor bantam or minor peewee, and they're going through the same thing, and maybe, you know, they're embarrassed to talk about it, or just, you know, they don't want to, you know, get help or something. They can look up to a guy who plays in the WHL, and obviously they want to do the same thing, and they feel confident enough to be like, yeah, like if Keyshawn, you know, if Keyshawn goes through it and stuff, then, you know, why can't I talk about it and stuff? So I really respect you for that. It's awesome, man.
Thank you.
I know you're still figuring out the details, but where can we go to check out the clothing?
You go on Teddy Wear's Instagram. I know some guys from the O and the Q have reached out, and some from the Dub. So I'm kind of like shipping off stuff to them if they need. So if anybody needs, just go on the Teddy Wear page, and you know, that's kind of where I've been doing orders until I can get that website up.
So I just wanted to say a couple things, just because, you know, when Elijah and I first started talking about doing this podcast and stuff, it kind of came from thinking, like, Elijah was one of the first, like, Black teammates I actually had played with, just because I grew up in Florida, and, you know, not that many kids play hockey there, and obviously not that many Black kids play hockey there, even more. So when I came to, you know, the OHL, and I played with Elijah my second year, it was just awesome just having, you know, another Black guy on the team. Like obviously Elijah and I are best friends, but, you know, we share some of the same similarities that no one else on the team could kind of understand. And I think that's something you guys might be able to relate to.
Justin, I wanted to, you know, first of all, you know, good luck. This is your draft year, right?
Yeah.
How are you feeling, man? How are you feeling about it?
I'm pretty calm about it. I think it's supposed to happen in the fall now. So it's like kind of weird how everything's happened. There's no combine or anything like that. But, you know, I've been managing. It's been all right.
Hopefully you'll get a chance to play in the show and, you know, go up against, you know, some of the world's best. Do you think you will be able to continue and to, you know, make your voice be heard about diversity and inclusion, especially in the NHL level?
I definitely think so. You know, you look at a guy like Evander, you see how much he's putting in, you know, all over his social media, kind of just spreading awareness. And I think he's doing a great job of that. And obviously that's something that, you know, I'd strive to do. And if I'm able to kind of get to that point, no, I'd definitely use my platform to my advantage to help out, you know, our Black community.
Boys, just wanted to thank you guys for coming on. It was great having you guys. And obviously great video you guys put together. It's going to change some things. And I think, you know, it's crazy what's going on right now. It's kind of like it's actually, we're part of history, I think, in terms of like where racism is going in North America. Like it's huge. Like everyone's out on the streets protesting, and every athlete's, you know, speaking up. So you guys are a part of that. And it's crazy, but thanks again for coming on. We really appreciate it. It was fun.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
You could add on to that.
Yeah. Just want to say thanks to all you guys for coming on. I mean, I'm a lot older than you guys, or I think than some of you guys, and maybe not a lot, but I think I'm older than everyone, maybe other than Coltrane and Kwame, but to see younger guys speaking up, it means a lot, because maybe when I was younger, there were some times where I didn't really have the courage to say something, but, you know, as younger guys speaking up now, when younger players of color come into the league, they might not be afraid to speak up, so just what you guys are doing, it's great, and I think you're inspiring a lot of people, and just keep it up.
Don't let Elijah fool you. He's my son, so
don't get it twisted, killer.
All right, boys, with that, once again, thank you. God bless you guys. And coming up next from the Detroit Red Wings, we got Giovanni Smith right here on Soul on Ice, the podcast. Good?
Yeah.
All right. Welcome back to the show. Let me introduce you to our next guest, drafted by the Red Wings, 46 overall, the younger brother of Jamel Smith. This young man has grinded it out. He's earned his spot in the show, coming in at 6'2", about 220 pounds of pure funk, representing Toronto, Ontario, Canada, Giovanni Smith. What's really Gucci, my brother? How are you?
What's good? What's good? Thank you.
Trust me.
Thanks for the introduction.
Come on this podcast, brother. We hype it up. We give it that soul. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I hear that.
So we just wanted to start with, by asking you, how is everything going with you? You know, we've had this COVID, everything that's going on in the States. How are you doing personally?
Personally, I'm doing pretty good. Like, I just came off my second year of pro playing. And then this year I was fortunate enough to get some NHL games in. And that's a big year for me. I've accomplished one of my goals, and, you know, to come back home in the midst of all this, you know, COVID-19 during this pandemic, you know, it's a big tragedy, but at the same time, it's a world pandemic. So we got to get through this together.
Are you involved or planning to be involved in any works within the Black community of Detroit? Is that something you want to kind of get into?
Yeah, actually, I did my first year. My first year, we were doing this program, and in Michigan, Grand Rapids, Michigan, it helps youth kids who can't afford to play ice hockey. And it's mostly, minorities of the city who can't really afford to play or afford to buy the equipment. And so I came down to the arenas, got a chance to meet with all the kids and speak with all the kids. And just to show some insight on, you know, just the grind and the steps and obstacles that it takes to get to the higher level, to get to the pro hockey level. So just to talk to those kids was, you know, something that I've always liked to do. And I'm going to keep doing more things like that.
So, you know, obviously with everything going on, there's a lot of NHL players speaking out, and, a lot of celebrities speaking out. Everyone's protesting and stuff. But do you feel like things are or are going to change in hockey?
Absolutely. I think it will change. You know, it's hard not to after seeing, you know, the whole entire world's protesting. All 50 states in the U.S. and even in Europe, people are protesting. So it's hard not to see that and, you know, make changes to ice hockey, make changes to the world, to basketball, to baseball, to every sport, every community.
What are your thoughts on the NHL's plan?
You know, I saw PK's donation that the NHL decided to match, and but the George Floyd, money's going to him and his family, but other than that, I know I see a lot of players are coming to speak out, and they're building awareness for everything, and that's really important because players see that, fans see that, you know, everyone else sees that after that. So it's the awareness that has to build up for people to start, you know, just taking a step back and not just judging people on the color of their skin.
So, G, I played against you for a couple of years in the O, and you know, you're definitely like one of the hardest players I've had to play against. Who do you model your game after, and who would you consider hard to play against in the show?
Growing up, I like to model my game after like a couple players. You know, a standout player for me was, you know, Wayne, you know, Simmons. He was a, you know, kind of guy like me, same size, he worked hard. You know, he played that gritty, solid game, but, you know, he's a guy I really like to watch heavily. And also Tom Wilson. Yeah, the guy I like to grow up and watch is just because, you know, big guys, power forward. That's kind of how I mimic my game. And the hardest player I played against in the NHL probably be Sidney. He's pretty skilled.
Do you ever want to just kind of push him up in the corners and just give him a little jab?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. It kind of makes me remember of a time me and Giovanni played against each other. And growing up, our families have kind of known each other, so we've been a little close. So me being a 5'9" rookie, I'm like, all right, this guy's not going to touch me. So the whole game, like whenever we play Giovanni, it's like you don't want to play against this guy because he's running around, he's hitting people, he's causing stuff all over the ice. But me, I'm like, this guy's not going to touch me because like we're family. So all game, I'm sticking him, I'm chirping him, I'm grabbing his jersey and everything. And at one point, the player's just going on and we're in the corner and he just stopped, didn't care about anything else, shook his gloves at me and is like, let's go right now. And I just like, I just turned, went the other way, just like that.
And then I remember that actually too.
The next whistle, he said, I'm going to end your career before it starts. So that was kind of the last time. That was the last time I did anything to G. And kind of just, he's a player that you don't really want to mess with on the ice.
Yeah, I remember that game, actually. I remember going back and telling Dante, and like, man, what's wrong with Elijah? This guy keeps hacking me, sticking me. Like, I thought that was funny.
So let me ask you this. If Elijah had dropped him, would you have?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. On the ice, like, we're, you know, I obviously grew up together and stuff like that. But on the ice, it's different for me. It's business.
It's business.
That's yeah. Awesome.
You know, you've dealt with your share of racism during your time in the O.
Yeah.
And, you know, what are some of the situations that stand out the most with you, and how were you able to deal with it going forward? Because there's a lot of young kids out there that are dealing with similar situations, and we really want to make sure that they understand the guys that they're going to look up to, like yourself, have gone through them. And there is a message for them going forward.
Yeah, the most difficult thing I probably dealt with was not even from like a player standpoint, like a player was being racist to me. It was more so the fans. There was instant Sarnia, actually, and kind of just, man, I almost lost my mind. It was, you know, we're playing to see him in the playoffs, and as I'm coming out, you know, a fan takes his time to run all the way downstairs to where, like, you're not really – fans and spectators aren't really supposed to be. So a fan comes downstairs and he opens the door as I'm coming into my locker room, and he starts yelling words at me, some nasty words, and I just started freaking out. You know, I kind of just, at that time, I was like, wow, like, people are just so hateful, and, you know, things like that. But and I told my coaching staff, I told the manager, and they had my back the whole situation, which made me feel really good that they, you know, not just cared about me as a hockey player, but, you know, as a human being as well. That, you know, obviously that we're part of the team and everything, but sometimes it's deeper than that.
So it got so bad at one point that you actually had to be escorted by the police. Like, how was that?
Yeah, that experience was something else. You know, it was good and bad in the sense that, like, wow, like, I'm getting escorted to the police just to go to my hockey game. But at the same time, that the fact that they just took those precautions for me to help me get to the arena safely and without being harmed or without being harassed or anything, you know, it meant a lot for me. But at the same time, for us to be in the city and have to do that, you know, it's kind of hurting. You know, if my little brother had to go through that, I would feel really bad for him, that and he would be singled out to do that stuff by himself. But, you know, it's these steps that we have to take to get to where we want to go.
Yeah. You know, that reminds me of a story, and I don't know if you guys know this story, but Mike Marzin, who was the second black player to play in the National Hockey League 1974 with the Washington Capitals, there were death threats against him. And, you know, these are the days of people cutting out letters from the newspaper and pasting it on, you know, a blank sheet of paper and then mailing it to you. And one of those threats were taken so serious that the FBI had to come down to a game, Washington against Flyers, and had to actually have, you know, snipers and people inside the arena just watching out.
Wow. Because,
you know, the threat was right there, and that was severe. So how did you, you know, how did you deal with that internally? And, you know, who did you turn to kind of get your strength back mentally after going through something like that?
Mentally, you know, kind of, you know, I would say this, especially kid of color playing ice hockey, you're mentally strong, that, you know, you're going to be prepared that this stuff is going to happen. You know, stuff's going to happen. Your parents tell you, your dad tells you. And it's true. My dad has told me multiple times that, you know, you're different and people see you as different and they're going to try to take you down. And you have to be mentally tough enough to be able to, you know, overcome those incidents. And it happened to me multiple times growing up too, even playing minor hockey, that, you know, kids just feel hatred and just feel want to be nasty and say things, you know, just really internally try to hurt me. But at the same time, yes, I am who I am because of the color of my skin, but that doesn't mean just because the words you say doesn't mean I'm that, you know what I'm saying? So for me, just to overcome that is, like, I know the type of person I am. I know I'm not like, I'm not like a slave or, you know what I'm saying? Like the words they tend to use to me, like that's not who I am. For me to get through that was support of my family, number one, and my friends on my team really helped me.
How important was, has your brother been to where you are today as a player and a person?
Very important. Like, I'm very lucky. Honestly, I can say I'm really lucky to have Jamel, to go through the OHL draft and the NHL draft and then play in the NHL and then come back to me to give me wisdom and give me guidance on how to get to the NHL and steps to get there. You know, very lucky to have that because, you know, most kids growing up don't really have that. And for him to, you know, to tell me step by step and what's going to happen here and how you have to deal with this to get to this part, you know, it was really big for my career. Still is pretty big.
What advice would you give to any young kids of color that are going through adversity right now?
Any young kids of color that are going through adversity right now, I would say, you know, you know who you are. You know, it obviously happens. I met actually a couple young boys that, you know, I spoke with personally that, you know, I've heard nasty stories that have happened to them in the past. And, you know, it's very, it hurts my heart to hear these things, but, you know, my advice that I can give those boys and give those kids coming up is, and just keep playing. Someone's always going to try to tell you something that you're not. And someone's always going to try to bring you down because either one, you're better than them and they're just really jealous of you, or two, they see you as different and different to them is scary because they're not used to it. So keep playing. Yeah, your emotions might come in the mix and you're going to be pretty, you know, pretty heated up at the time, but, you know, just always remember the bigger picture. If you react, they want you to react. If you do something, they want you to do something. So don't play into their game.
Yeah, that's a great piece of advice.
So, G, you know, I've spent a couple nights with you at Love Child, and I know you're into cars because you kind of helped me out.
What's Love Child?
That's just that? A place we go to.
That is a place where a lot of people go during the day to get drinks, and it's a club. But sounds something else, Love Child.
Yeah. Anyways, and, you know, I think you're a little bit into cars because you're helping me out when I was getting my car last summer. But I wanted to know, what are the things that you're interested in outside of hockey?
Outside of hockey, now I've, you know, became into a big interest of real estate. That's something that, with playing hockey, it allows us to be able to create that, you know, financial wealth for generations and for myself. And for myself to get into that and hopefully set up my, you know, my kids and my kids' kids by just doing these right steps. So, you know, just to change the whole narrative that, you know, because what us being from Jamaica, being a first generation born in Canada, our family didn't have much. So be able to leave a legacy and to leave something behind, to already be in a jump start between coming from nothing to having something is, you know, that's what I'm trying to build. That's a legacy.
I rate that.
Yeah. You had a pretty good OHL career, and, you know, now you just finished your second year pro. How was the transition into the A, and what was your time like there?
My first transition to the AHL was really fun. It was similar to the OHL. So shout out to the OHL for giving the right format and layout to the AHL and NHL because it's very similar. But it's just the style of gameplay, it's a little bit different. From the OHL, it's more, you know, you're necessarily more focused on scoring goals and you know, winning games by having good offensive plays and, you know, obviously scoring more. But as you graduate to the AHL, you start to learn that it's great that you can produce points and score goals, but if you can't take care of your defensive zone, if you're getting scored on, then if you can't figure out that part, it's going to be harder for you to graduate to the next part, and that's the NHL.
So, G, what about, like, so what did you do that got the Red Wings' attention in order to be called up?
What did I do? That's a tough question because I'm not, you know, just like you guys yourself, like when you go on the ice, you just play your solid game, right? You go hard, you play hard, you come back, you finish the game, you're hurting, your body's all bruised up and you're feeling good. But for me, I think it was my work effort that I put in the previous summers just to show how determined I am to train and to want to get better. And they noticed that. And they saw me making improvements during the season. That's from the summertime to September, going up. You know, I was going in an upward spike. And you notice that as a coaching staff or as a trainer that, you know, that kid's putting in work. So if you can put in work and keep climbing up that ladder, you'll start to turn heads. And that's what it takes.
Yeah, I think last time I skated with G, we were playing a scrimmage and we were on different teams and his team won. And he kind of yelled out, like, losing team, everyone get on the line. And kind of it was just for fun, so, like, no one listened. And although, like, his team won, he went on the line and did some skating after. So I think just that's, like, a little bit of a testament on why he got called up to the A and or to the NHL. And hopefully going forward, that's probably why he's going to stick.
Huge work ethic. I love that. So take us back to that moment when you first got called up to the AHL. Where were you? What was happening? Yeah. And what was the emotions like when they told you you're going up to play in the show and put on the...
Oh, man. It was... I couldn't believe it at first. I was sitting at home in my apartment in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And out of nowhere, I got a call from the GM. And that's, you know, regular practice day. If you're getting a call from your GM, it's either two things. You're getting traded or you're going to the NHL. And this so happened to be that I was going to play in the NHL. And when he told me, I was so excited. But at the same time, like, I was ready. I was ready to play. I worked so hard to get to this exact point. And I knew I would get to it. You know, it all just depended on a matter of when. And when I got the information, I was excited. I called my brother right away, you know, just to tell him because I was just too excited. I couldn't put into words. I called my family. And then just from there, I packed myself up and headed straight to Detroit and was ready to play the game the next night.
Who was that game against and kind of break it down how it went for us?
First game we played against Buffalo, the Sabres. And it was really fun. I'll put it that way. You know, just step on the ice, you know, in a regular season game, not just preseason, you know, to play alongside guys you grew up watching on TV and you watch them on YouTube looking for highlights and to play against guys like Eichel and, you know, Skinner, especially those high caliber guys and to be on the same ice as them. It's like, wow, I'm finally here, but at the same time, I have to put the work in.
Did you get a lap in? Did the boys make you do a lap?
No lap. Oh. We're kind of in the midst of a little funk of a streak, but, you know, we just want to win games and, you know,
were you
no
shook?
Lap for me.
Were you shook?
That was planned.
Yeah, were you like, when you first got out there, like, how long did it, the nerves... Like, how long did it take you to be like, okay, I'm good?
You know what? I wasn't shook. Like, at all. This is something I really wanted to do. And it's been building up for 3 years. Ever since I was 18, getting drafted, you know, I wanted to play for the Detroit Red Wings and play in the NHL. So it's all mental preparation to get to where I was, you know, on that day. And to play that game, I just felt like myself. Whatever I did, I was going to do it and not feel any ways about it, because at the end of the day, you know, we're all just hockey players, and we've been playing this game since we were about 6 years old, 5 years old. So it's, you know, the game's not much different. It's just on a different platform.
And so, you know, what's your ultimate goal in this rat race of playing hockey? What's your ultimate goal, man?
My ultimate goal, number one, is to, you know, eventually win a Stanley Cup. I think that would be an amazing experience to finally to do that. But to have a long and successful career, and to encourage more kids as I'm playing, more kids that, you know, see me on the ice and see me on the TV, you know, just want to be just like me, want to play hockey, just like how I started. You know, kids that didn't come from much, and see a familiar face on the ice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Are you actually familiar with the Learn, Play, Score program in Detroit?
Yeah, I've heard about that program.
Yeah, so, you know, that program's, you know, it's funded through a $1 million investment in partnership with the Red Wings, you know, the Red Wings Foundation, the NHL, and the NHLPA. And I encourage you, when you get back, to learn about a guy by the name of Marlo Stoudemire. He recently passed away from the COVID-19, you know, virus. But if it wasn't for him, you know, that program wouldn't be in the city. And I think his legacy is going to be something that is going to be cemented in Detroit. So I hope that you'll get more involved in that program, because it's a great thing for the city.
Gee, one of the things that we do here on the podcast is we like to ask your top five songs. So if you're headed to the ring,
top five songs,
game 7, Stanley Cup final, you're driving in your car, headed to the rink, you got five songs. What are your five songs?
Yeah, man.
No face
change. Yeah.
The five songs is going to hype you up, man. It's going to get you jacked up.
They change on, you know, depends the mood I'm in.
Okay.
And, you know, who's popped at the same time, but.
Right now, if you.
Right now.
Right now, what would be your top five right now?
Right now. Just go through my phone and tell you.
Do it.
A song called Both by Heady One. He's a UK rapper.
Okay.
Life is Good by Drake and Future.
Okay.
Out West by Jack Boys and Travis Scott.
That's three.
Options by NSG.
And your last one?
My last one is Keisha and Becky Remix.
Okay.
Yeah, those are my songs.
So if you're listening to those songs, is it trouble for the other team?
It's trouble for everyone. I'm in my mode right there. You know what I'm saying? Like, once I'm vibing to those songs, got my headphones in, I'm just feeling good all around. So everyone better watch out.
Dig it. Hey, man, Giovanni, thank you for hanging out with us. Make sure you give a shout out to your brother. I met him a bunch of years ago.
Yeah.
He made a little cameo in my documentary. He's a great dude, man, and I just want, you know, all the best to you and your family. Keep holding
thank you
out there in the D. We're going to come to see you, man.
Nice. All right. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me once again. Appreciate
thanks
that.
Coming on, bro.
Appreciate it. Thanks.
And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the poop is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need you, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Yeah, soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. You goddamn right, I'm screaming on that beat. I got a match screaming on the streets. We in the club, stadium, Mandy, your arena, cousin. Put me on ice and I'm hitting that top. Trees are dusting, fussing, fighting with myself is enticing. My enemies in the mirror, and he's always reciting the poetry of my power. Statistic of my weakness, shadow boxing with Tyson. I'm trying to show y'all I'm beating them to the punch. competition on the table. It's time for lunch. Though my mission is unstable, I'm scoring once, twice, three times, and I'm taking hats. Men lie, women lie. Progress is based upon the facts. So let that baby shine. They sold a show and older. They live within the grind. Now take them out that stroller, cause coming up is a champ. Prediction of Ali. He changed his name to Muhammad. We changing free to a fee. It's up to me. And when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need ya, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. We double up when our numbers come through the TV. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice. Let's dedicate this one to Jaden Linda. Let's escalate to Caddy, crush the Pinto. Or maybe you prefer that Benz, why? That big truck, I don't give a f***. Only really want a house for the gift. Let's take it far down on the competition. Competition is nonsense, it's me and my soul's decision. Yeah, I only work against myself. I play against you to bench you. I'm throwing all shots to the shelf. Yeah, the top is the topic. You checking your armor. My wheel telescopic, so I'm steering my karma. The future is mine, like receiving the pass from Jesus or Jordan or Crosby, Stills and Nash. We young, and when we make it, we gon' put our soul on ice. Cause when they doubted us, we did it twice. I guess the proof is in the freezer. They tried to get rid of us, but they need us. So I need ya, like you need me. I need you, like you need me. Soul on ice, I'ma put my soul on ice. Nice.